Good day, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. The music fading away there. This is James McCanny. I'm sitting in for Daniel Brigman today on the Power Hour, July 2nd, 2020. We've made it this far. Will we make it another week? That is the question. But today I'm going to be guest host for the two-hour period, and I decided to do this by myself instead of having guests, etc., because I have a very important topic that's going to take about 2 hours. So I'm going to take this opportunity to really cover a topic that's super important to all of you, something that's near and dear to all of you. It's called food. And something that I've become from time to time, I've become involved in selling food products, et cetera, like that. But the issue is long-term stability of your personal food supply. And of course, you have the, storage food, et cetera. But that's not the whole story. I mean, that's something that everybody should have. It's very important. But, so what I'm going to, I'll just give you kind of an outline of what I'm going to talk about today. And, these are the main topics, and each one of these is going to take quite a bit of time. So I want to jump right into this. Seeds, growing systems, pests, and, use of insecticides, things like that. Water, climate, containers, growing containers, energy, logistics, food waste, organic versus GMO, and those types of topics. And then defining, in a sense, your new world. And then also things as esoteric as lettuce providing oxygen if you live in an apartment. Interestingly enough, NASA is doing that as a study for space stations. How do you convert carbon dioxide from, the people breathing out carbon dioxide? What do you do with that? There are machines that will convert it back to oxygen, but lettuce is a way of doing that. So that takes the, if you have enough lettuce per person, then it'll convert the CO2 that you breathe out back to oxygen and subsequently provide food also. So very interesting. But since most of us are not going into space in the near future anyway, all of these other topics hit home. And here's the issue. Here's the core issue. It comes down to one word besides food. The word is local. This is a word I've started using because the term sustainable has been hijacked. The word sustainable, whenever you get a buzzword like this, that it comes out in the industry and all the Trekkies jump on it and everything is sustainable, sustainable, sustainable. It's about a New York second to where that term becomes hijacked. And the industries that really are not sustainable hijack that word, and then they're all sustainable. I predicted this a long time ago, that the term green would be hijacked. Now every router, every piece of electronics, every shoe is green. And, you know, that's just an advertising gimmick. So the term sustainable has been hijacked. And so I wanted to get a word that cannot be hijacked by the big corporations because it's absolutely contrary to everything they do. And that term is local. If they became local, then they wouldn't be the big corporations. So the term local means something very specific. What does a big corporation do? They try and take over as much of the world market as possible globally. And so then they have to transport long distances. They have to spray food with chemicals. They have to take the term organic. Organic is another term that's been hijacked. Organic might be human poop in Mexico. Organic might be chemicals that have been adorned as being okay by legislatures, which have been paid under the table by industry, whereas previously that would have been non-organic or inorganic or non-organic as a method of growing food. Now all of a sudden it's okay. So organic has been hijacked as a word, And also organic has been hijacked because it covers up GMO. Now, I think you all know what GMO is, genetically modified organisms. There are other buzz terms for that, but basically we're most familiar with the term GMO. So you go to the store, you go and it says organic section and you feel good. You go, you're getting all this organic food. First of all, it's not organic. If it crossed a state line, it's been sprayed. It may not have been grown with certain chemicals, but when it crossed that state line or it was shipped from California to your grocer up in the upper Midwest or in the Northeast, it got sprayed. It's not organic. Don't believe the sign organic. And mostly the term organic covers the fact that you're eating GMO food. It comes from non-pollinating growth cycles. In other words, there is another buzz term in the industry. It's called open pollination, which means that's like a new term for something old, which means regular food from regular seeds. So open pollination means like what used to happen when the bees came by. The bees would take the pollen from one plant, bring it to the other, and that's what created the genetic combination for the seeds to grow, and it's typically the seeds that we eat, whether it's wheat or corn or nuts or berries or whatever. Inside there is the seed, and that's the main reason for these plants growing, because then the seeds repropagate and grow, that can continue to propagate the species. Blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, you know, nuts, corn, wheat, whatever, to pick any plant, that open pollination was the method of basically reproduction. So GMO, what does that do? Well, it takes and genetically modifies the plant so it does not need pollination. And so it can grow up, it can grow those nice looking corn seeds, etc. Excuse me, but if you take that corn seed and plant it, it's not going to grow. It's not genetically capable of reproducing. And so that's a benefit to the seed companies, the Monsantos of the world, and the Bayers, all of the corporations that want to get a corner on the seed market. And this is where I'm going to start, is talking about seeds, they can control the seeds. Because when I was a kid and I'd go out to my friend's farm, part of what they did when they harvested the corn was to take the best ears, the biggest ears, and they would shuck off the middle part of the husk of the corn husk, and they would save that seed for next year. That was their seed. They didn't go to the store and buy bags of seed to plant. They saved them from their own crops. Well, in comes hybrid. It becomes, they can get a bigger yield, all of these amazing things. So they switch over to hybrid. Well, now one of their biggest bills is hybrid corn seed. They have to go in every year, go back to the feed store to buy seed so that they can grow their crops. So that all changed in my lifetime. Okay, so first of all, getting back to this idea of local, local is where you get your food from someplace within walking distance. And that's really hard for a large corporation to do. If they do that, they've then succumbed to being a local distributor. They have to have the production local. They don't depend on long-term trucking. They don't depend on big supermarkets that would be smaller stores or routes of distribution, etc. So local is a term that cannot be hijacked, because if they do, it would be clear they're lying. If the food comes in a big semi-truck from California, it ain't local. They could pretend it's local, but now I'll give you some examples of companies that are growing quite well, and I'm probably going to refrain from giving names out, but you can go look these up, and there's numerous companies. But I'll be talking about, for example, vertically integrated growing systems, where you have very high concentration agriculture. An example is, say, a warehouse that produces 30,000 heads of lettuce a day. That's a big operation, completely indoors, completely artificial light. Very high quality food because it's organic, very organic. It's non-GMO because they are, what are they doing? One of their big line items would be seeds. And if they grow their own seeds, then they don't have that big expense of going to the GMO company to buy seeds. Plus now they can say organic and non-GMO. So, and it's local. Local. And so there's a big company, for example, up in the Northeast, and you could go online, easily find this company, and they service about maybe 100 grocery stores in the Northeast in the New England area of the United States. But they grow their own seeds. It's organic. It's non-GMO. It's very good, and they only grow green. They have a private label for their green products, for lettuce and spinach and all of the other products that they grow. And if you look at one of these facilities, it's a big warehouse with maybe 30 tracks high of trays with fluorescent lighting, and they're growing these products. Okay, so anyway, what does this have to do with you? Well, this is becoming the new norm in food production. People want higher quality food. And the thing that's very interesting about this, when I go into this field, like I'm an old guy. I feel like a great grandfather to most of the people in this industry. And it's an industry that I'm actually in myself because of my grow towers, etc. But these people are young entrepreneurs. I would say the majority are under 30 years old. So the... Excuse me. I had a blink in my system here. So a lot of these people are young, and so it's very encouraging to see young people with this initiative to start these companies. And for example, there's an application. It's a phone app. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, where you can find locally grown, real good, high quality food. And it even gives you the date it was grown, how close it was, all of the conditions. Was it truly organic? Is it non-GMO? And you can order this on an app on your phone, and somebody drives up to your house and delivers it at a reduced price, at a price that's less than buying at the grocery store. So anyway, all of these things are changing. And your ability to grow food yourself, right in your own apartment, etc. Or if you have a house, or, you know, the ability to do this is starting to come to fruition. So, with all of that said, with that brief introduction, not so brief, I'm going to talk about seeds first of all. And if you have a garden, if you've tried to go out and locate seed production or buy seeds this spring, what you're going to encounter is that you're not the Lone Ranger. You're going to find that seeds are getting difficult to find. There are other companies that understand this and that have started entire networks of locating seed sources and making them available on a worldwide basis for the local populations. There was a story that just came out, and I think this was about Czechoslovakia, that a company went in with $11 million, and Czechoslovakia is one of the Eastern Bloc nations that have outlawed Monsanto GMO seeds. Peru, there's a lot, quite a few South American countries that have Bolivia, Peru, I believe Ecuador, yes, absolutely Ecuador, and other countries that have outlawed Monsanto and GMO, that simply cannot sell them in those countries. But there's a company that went to Czechoslovakia, which is a non-GMO country, and bought up their entire seed production for the year for $11 million. Now, if you're looking on a world scale, it's not much money to buy the entire seed crop of an entire country. this is the level of what's going on today, and I'm sure most of you are probably not aware of this. So there's a term out there, it's called VPO, or pollinated, open pollinated seeds. And so that's the new kind of buzzword for non-GMO. In other words, seeds. And so they talk about open pollination versus hybrid. And this is something that's coming up, and it's going to become more and more imminent in the entire food industry. Getting your food locally, getting your produce, and we're talking especially here about green produce, leafy, lettuce, spinach, you know, rooting products, and, you know, things like asparagus, another very good cash crop to grow indoors or in limited greenhouse where you have part of the day with sunlight and then maybe part of the dark time of the day with artificial lighting. And but here's another interesting thing that I found out in doing my research for food at a local level. The Gates Foundation, you're in my good friend Bill Gates, I'm saying that facetiously, of course, have been in the seed business for a long time. And so with their massive amount of money, they can come into an area like the seed industry and influence it, take it over, control certain aspects of it, and come off as being a humanitarian when in actuality what they're doing is cornering the world seed market. So, you know, there's some very nefarious forces out there moving about also. And there's probably no more nefarious industry on the planet, unless you look at pharmaceuticals, unless you look at the energy industry, something I'm also dealing with myself, is the seed industry. And that's something that is vital, because without seeds, you don't get plants. Without plants, you don't have food. And especially the kind of food that is paramount to your daily existence. So the seed industry is something that's very important. I just went to a site. They sell what's called a seed vault. It's 20,000 seeds, organic, non-GMO. And then you go to buy it, and they say, we can't even think about shipping you a package of seeds until at least mid-July, until maybe possibly later. And that's because, and all of these seed companies, the heirloom seed companies, have been this year absolutely swamped. So if you're thinking about growing food yourself, getting away, having your own food source, you are in very good company, because that's what everybody else is thinking also. The other thing about seeds is they don't last forever. You know, the idea of having a seed vault where you put seeds away and they last, you know, for 100 years or 1,000 years or something like that. It's a nice thought, but the seed structure is constantly changing and being modified. That's what natural selection is all about. So the corn we're raising today, if you're raising non-GMO corn, is different from 20 years ago and different than 50 years ago when I was a little kid. You know, or, well, not too little. But so the seed industry is dynamic, is what I'm saying. It's not, there are packages, they're nitrogen packed, and they probably have a rating for how long they will last, et cetera. You'd have to look at the local suppliers for that. But number one issue on this whole agenda of local food is seeds. So what I would suggest is that reworking your entire worldview and how you take care of yourself, etc., is understanding seeds and your supply of seeds, because where this is going is that you're going to be growing food in your own area, or you might get together with some other people and create a common area that is bigger, more concentrated, less costly per person, that grows more food. And typically with indoor, most of the people in the listening area of this radio show would be in areas that are cold climates in the wintertime. You know, you have a summer, you know, you might have extended fall, but at some point you're in the wintertime. So you, and then get into the case, and also in the northern hemisphere, as soon as you cross that September 21st date, you're starting to get shorter and shorter days, and so you're not getting as much sunlight. So now all of a sudden you have to provide lighting systems. Well, how do you do that? Where does the energy come from if you're not energy independent? So this is a complicated topic, and I'll be going into these. Remember, this is the first topic. Very important part of this is seeds. I'll be talking about growing systems, water, climate, containers, energy, logistics, food waste, very big, important topic, and other topics. And we're going to be heading into the commercial break here, bottom of the hour in a minute. When I come back, I'll pick up the topic of systems. In other words, what kind of growing systems are there out there that you can get economically and start producing your own food on a regular basis? And these are very interesting because, say, you have tomato plants. Well, it's not just a one-growth, one-off item. You would be picking tomatoes on a regular basis, and the more tomatoes you pick, it turns out, the more tomatoes that the plant is going to produce. So one tomato plant would be plenty for a family. In fact, you're probably going to have more tomatoes than you know what to do with. So here we go with break. One of my favorite songs. Be back in a couple of minutes.
Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption, utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soils. I think we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Thank you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And welcome back. Welcome back. The music dying off here. James McCanny here filling in for Daniel Brigman, the Power Hour, July 2nd, 2020. And I'm talking today about that topic, that subject that everybody really is daily connected to, that's called food. So the first segment, hope my voice lasts through this 2 hours. I talked about seeds, and so that's a topic I could spend about 10 hours on by itself. But the summary in talking about seeds is find a seed supplier, a reputable heirloom seed supplier, and start putting in some orders and get some supplies. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about systems, growing systems, and this is something that I've actually entered into this business myself, so a little bit of selfless promotion here. If you look at my webpage, I have the grow towers. These are vertical. They're called aeroponics grow towers, and this is just one of the systems that's available today. In fact, this is a very the advantages are that it takes up much less space. It's about one-tenth the space. So in the space of about what it would take to grow a head of lettuce, you can have 40 heads of lettuce, or you can have various plants. You could have down at the bottom, you could have tomatoes, you could have cucumbers, you could have leafy lettuces like the romaines. And the thing is with those or spinach, you don't wait till you harvest the whole plant. You start clipping them. So when they grow up and they're rather small, you start clipping them, and then it's a way of getting greens every day from this single grow tower. It's an amazing system, and you have to have your growth solution. They come with a pump and a timer and things like that, everything that it takes, and then the seeds come with it. But then eventually, of course, you have to get your own seeds. But the other beauty about this is you don't have fungus and pests. And with the, say you had a pot of dirt in your house and you were trying to grow a tomato plant, well, you'd be able to grow one tomato plant. And then you'd have to deal with the dirt, you know, the dog getting its nose in the dirt and the issue of watering it every day and taking care of it. If you go on vacation, your plant dies. And the thing with the grow systems is that they take care of themselves. So you have to change the water in them maybe once every few weeks. You can put it in the, like a, out on the deck, especially in the summertime right now. You could put it out on the deck, and just as long as you have an outlet, electric outlet, you plug it in, and what happens is about every 15 minutes, the pump turns on, pumps the water solution up the tower, and then it rains. It basically rains inside this tower. It brings the growth solution with it, and so all of the roots are inside of the tower. They get wet, and then there's little ports where the plants stick out and grow. And it's a beautiful system. It's very clean. The growth time is about one-third the time of a typical, say, a head of lettuce. Takes around 78 to 80 days. Some varieties as 90 days to grow. The typical growth system in a grow tower is about 28 days, about one-third of the time. And the reason for that is because you have a starter table. You're starting your plants from seed. Once they get so big, you move them to another area, and then they get up to about, say, one-third to one-half full grown. Then you put them in the grow tower, and from that point, then they are have about a 30-day life cycle till they're done. And so a very, very nice system. There are commercial systems available also that, and this is actually happening. I have people coming in that are buying these for church groups or other groups, local groups, like 10 houses together. People will buy in on a commercial system because they get a lot more food. One person, they can take turns taking care of it. They're pretty low maintenance. Once you get them set up and growing, the water, the pump takes care of itself, everything else. If you do need lighting, that's available also. You can use fluorescent lighting. You can use LED lighting there, or you can use the more expensive, there are high voltage lamp for grow systems, but it's easy to provide equivalent of sunlight in a grow system, and so it has all the advantages of a very clean growing system, and you get organic, non-GMO, and you know that these are organic and not containing chemicals because you grew it yourself, and it's right there. It's locally, and the world today are going to this type of grow systems. The people that do this commercially, their main clients are high-end restaurants, because the high-end restaurant has, you know, they don't want a lot of waste. You know, when you buy a head of lettuce, you have to peel off the outside two layers, or there's a lot of ends you have to clip because they're going bad or whatever. With these systems, it's fresh that day, it's much better product. So this is where a lot of young entrepreneurs are getting into the food business. It's very interesting because they're growing very fast. I'll just give you a name of one here that I found. It's called Aero Farms, and they have their green product is it's called Just Greens, and this is the group I was talking about earlier in the show, that they're out of the Northeast, and they maybe service 100 grocery stores, and I'm sure they service some high-end restaurants there also. But this is the future of food, and once again, that term local, which the big corporations can't rob, they can't sequester that word, because it's everything that they are not. They can say sustainable because sustainable is not really, it's kind of a buzzword. It's kind of like it's a feel good word. Like green. Green is a feel good word. It doesn't really mean anything. But local means local. It's hard to stretch that word into meaning international food trade. So anyway, the growing systems are out there. I chose the one that I sell. Once again, a little bit of selfless promotion here. But I sell the one I sell after quite a bit of research. I didn't just run out and grab something. I did a lot of research and then found the system that I liked the best. And so that I'm actually marketing right now. And this is going along with a lot of the other things I do, the wing generator, the water systems, etc. And so a grow system, something that you can grow locally, or find a commercial outlet that is local and then go and see where you can buy their products. So this is all coming full circle. But I'll tell you, if you live on a farm where you can have a big garden, that's probably the best system. And then I'm going to talk a little bit later in this program about food storage. So if you have a traditional garden, what do you do with all that food? It comes off in the fall. And as a little kid, I remember my parents going out, and this is back in the 50s, just to date myself a little bit, going out and buying big quantities of potatoes and tomatoes and making pickles out of, you know, and all of these things actually in the kitchen. And it would be days and days, and all of the people, including the kids and everybody, had a hand in this, preparing the food for canning, for storage, other forms of storage, salting, all the different ways. And by the time the fall came, we had the food in the house for the whole winter. That was common. My job as a kid was to go downstairs and fill the pan full of potatoes from the two big bags of potatoes that were down in the cold room in the basement. That's what my job as a little kid was, and to go down and get peas and other food that was stored there. And that was the way we lived. And we always ate good. We were not rich. We were pretty poor. But that was the way life was. And I think we're going to be returning to that lifestyle where you, by the time fall rolls around, you're going to have your entire winter's food supply stored up. And as much as possible, you know, potatoes, the things like that, have a cold room where you can store these. And that's the world that's coming back to us, which is very interesting after living in a corporate world, how the corporate world really shot itself in the foot with the coronavirus. What they thought they were going to do is take over the whole world and get control of everybody so that everybody would be servitude to their corporate whims. And what's really happening is people are actually going back to old ways, and that, once again, that term local comes in. So let me move on to the next topic here, pests, fungus, and pesticides. One thing about the new grow systems is that you are not using pesticides or fungicides or any kind of spray because it's a very, very clean environment. So that's very important. And if you're growing organic, there's really great information, has been for a long time, on growing organic food, where organic food is, and I remember when I was a little kid, the neighbor lady, she was an elderly lady, and she had this massive garden, and she was constantly giving us food, like really great asparagus and tomatoes. When the tomatoes were coming off, you couldn't eat enough tomatoes. There was tomatoes everywhere. But a small garden, and she had maybe a 50 foot by 50 foot garden about. And this thing produced so much food, it was unbelievable, but she used organic methods. And so there's ways, et cetera, that get rid of the pests. And you don't have fungus, you don't have bugs, you don't have pests, etc. And so all of that organic information is available. And if I had my way, I would have indoor growing facilities and I would have a big garden. And so, in fact, I guess in a sense, I do have a big garden. But very important wherever you are to produce your food organically. And what I find really interesting is that the younger, really hip, well-educated kids are jumping on this bandwagon. So the next topic is water. And as I mentioned, if you are watering your plants with water, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. If you water your plants with water that is polluted, then all of that pollution is going to stay in the plant, and it's cumulative. So, because the water is evaporating out of the plant, it's part of the respiratory process of the plant. But all of that gunk, whatever it is, chemicals or pollution or whatever it is going to be in, and there are a lot of areas, for example, that have, say, arsenic in the water. So if you're using well water in Texas to water your garden, it's not a good idea because you probably have a high level of arsenic, and that's staying in those plants. So water filtration, if you're using, or even if you're using rainwater, it's good to filter the water before you put it on your plants. And so, unless you have an outdoor garden, but, getting all of those chemicals out of the water is important. And there again, the water filtration is something I know a little bit about. I've been in that business for now about 20 years. And one of the big problems with water filtration is that there's a lot of hype out there. There are people selling water softeners as water filters. Water softeners are not water filters, but people are selling them as if they were. The other thing is that a lot of water filters don't remove basic things like fluoride and arsenic. So you would need add-on filters, but they don't tell you that. So you have to really ask a lot of questions before you buy water filtration equipment. But if you have an indoor grow facility or grow towers, aeroponics, aquaponics, or any other system, you want to make sure you're using clean water. And I'm trying to promote something myself. We have organic and true organic, not the legislative fake organic, but true organic. We have non-GMO, which is important. So you're eating food that's real nature's food, not some chemical Frankenstein food. But the other thing, the other part of the equation that nobody ever talks about, and I'm trying to get people to talk about this, is clean water. If you have a grow facility, like if you're, say, AeroFarms, and you're growing this beautiful green leafy, you have your own product name, and you're selling it to hundreds of supermarkets, are you growing that with clean water, or are you growing it with New York City water right out of the tap? You know, and I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a good question, and it's one that they should be able to answer. Do they filter their water before they put it into their solution that goes out to fertilize their plants? Clean water is paramount. And for most of us, we live in an area where just the rainwater is clean, but most people get their water, if you have an indoor facility, most of your water is going to come from the city water supply. So it's fluoridated, it's got chlorine, it's got all kinds of other things in there that are going to accumulate in your plants. Okay, so the next topic I want to talk about is climate, outside and inside. Now, if you're inside, there are a lot of advantages, and this is where, if you're going to look at a growth industry in the next 10 years, if you want to invest, if you got some extra pocket change sitting around and you want to invest in an industry, invest in indoor gardening. The most of the states right now, California, Texas, et cetera, are opening up the growth of hemp. And so there's variations on hemp. Some is the hemp is grown strictly for fiber. For the remember that the Model T, the original Model T Ford, used hemp resin as the doors. That's why it was very lightweight, very strong, lasts forever, resilient, very inexpensive. And hemp was also raised as a cash crop during World War II because of rope. They needed a lot of rope for the navies during World War II. So hemp was a product that was raised, and then after World War II, they came in and they made it illegal, comparing it to marijuana that was classified as a drug. And so anyway, they did that in the industry, So they could come in with other synthetic products. That's where you got Dacron and all of the other synthetic products came in and pushed hemp out. But hemp is making a comeback as a viable product. And so at any rate, the point here is that's just one of the cash crops that's coming down the line here. Intensive growing indoors and now also outdoors of hemp is just one of the cash crops that's coming along. And then, of course, there's CBD oil. There's all of the other things, medical marijuana that are being, you know, been legal in most states for a long time. But these are coming along as cash crops. So controlled climate farming is the way of the future. This is something that is an industry that is growing fast right now, and it's just at the beginning of an exponential curve going up, and it's going to go no place but up because, for example, like I talked about, there are factories putting out 30,000 heads of lettuce per day, 30,000 heads of lettuce per day out of an indoor factory, and that's a growing business. That's a business where you can put those factories up locally. A number of weeks ago, I did two radio interviews. Actually, they were TV interviews with Robert David Steele. And he called me up and he said, James, you got to do a couple of shows with me on this topic. So they were like short. They were, I think, about 20 minutes each. And I went into and presented an entire program of food, water, and energy. And that's something he just thought it was so important of what I'm doing because these are essential to our future. And the whole crux of those interviews was to emphasize the word local. And so then again, for outside farming, I think we're going to see a lot more farmers converting some of their land. Say you have 600 acres. I think we're going to see a lot of farmers around the United States, around the world, converting to locally grown food products, especially vegetables, things like that, and get off this dependency on long-term transportation of food, getting back to true organic, non-GMO, and locally grown. That's going to be the trend. And so what does that have to do with climate? Well, climate, what we're dealing with there is the growing season and also three-season and four-season greenhouses, relatively inexpensive to put up and climate-controlled. And then I also I'll be talking about energy and lighting, which is an important thing. I recently heard a story about companies that are growing indoor. They have indoor grow facilities down in, I believe it was Arizona or maybe it was New Mexico, but they're running old vintage diesel generators to create the power to run the lights in their grow facility. And they have a lot of problems with them. They break down. Can you imagine how much diesel fuel they're burning to grow organic food? It's absolutely insane. So the other big industry that's coming down the pike here, which I'm positioned right in front of, is the energy industry. If you have, for example, electric transportation, which is coming, the central power companies do not have the capacity to grow. They're all on the brink of bankruptcy. They don't have the ability to produce more power or to build infrastructure to build more power, to produce more power, or to, they're financially drained. They don't have any way to create twice as much energy and deliver it for just electric transportation. Now add in climate, conditioning for indoor food growing, et cetera, not to mention things like Bitcoin mining, which is taking enormous, absolutely enormous amounts of energy. And we have an energy crisis. And so when you see indoor grow facilities, their biggest bottom line expense is electricity. biggest expense. And so that's a market that, once again, I'm positioned right in front of with the patented wing generator. And remember, I saw this coming 15 years ago. I was doing this. I was positioning myself a long time ago, decades ago, to understanding that this is where things were going. And I can't tell you how many radio shows I've been on back in the old Alex Merklinger days, back in the old Art Bell days, talking about this, that someday we were going to get to the point where you had to take care of yourself. You know, food, taking care of defending yourself. Well, we're there today, boys and girls. We are there today. This is the world you're living in right now. And so I positioned myself between energy behind these industries, energy, water, and now food. And that's it. If you cover those three and you're able to take care of yourself, defend your local property, etc. Well, here we go. We're heading into the break here. Top of the hour. We'll be back in a few minutes. I'll continue on this topic of food.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.